Here we go. Here to Party Sports is live 7 a.m. on the Monday morning. Coming at you live with a big old stretch and coming back from my marathon over the weekend. This lovely shirt was the race attire shirt that they gave you when you finish. I want you to take a good look. I don't know what the significance is, but it was on everything.
I mean, it's like an egret.
Okay. We just thought it was like a big ass bird. Hang on.
That's an egret. You got a marathon. Egret. I mean, it looks like one of those kind of shirts that, like, those old dads wear into the water when they don't want to take their shirt off anymore.
Yeah, you got to pop it up so you don't get too much sunburn.
Dude, there's nothing wrong with it, though. It's a good look. Is it comfy?
This is the first time that I'm wearing it. I wore my metal all day yesterday, like, through the airport and stuff.
Dude,
I had to pull this shirt out.
My brother wears this thing called Salty Crew. It's, like, it's a brand that's actually pretty popping. Like, it's I don't know the best way of putting it, but it's this lifestyle ocean style brand. But my brother wears this one that has, you know, it doesn't allow the sun to come through. It is very light and he wears it to the beach all the time. And my brother's skin is the color of the white surrounding your screen right now.
Okay.
Like, he doesn't age. He's a vampire. He's an incredible creature. And that's that kind of shirt that you're wearing right now. I hope you don't become one of the guys who ends up just cruising into the wilderness and basically become this dude who never takes that shirt off inside and out.
I think I've seen those, but they're at Walmart. I don't know where he gets his, probably not at Walmart, but the brand that I think you're talking about or that I've recognized, that type of thing where it blocks so much UV rays without you even having to wear sunblock. They have caps that have the back flap and then, yeah, it's just long sleeve shirts. I've seen them at Walmart.
I don't know. As I've been getting older, if my body is less available or like it's less strong against the elements of the world or just like time has been beating me up for so long that I'm finally breaking down or I'm just literally pushing myself at limits that I've never been to before. But I, as I've been getting older, have had to become a lot more cognizant of what I do with myself, like the amount of time I spend outside the sun. What I drink, what I eat, all this kind of stuff. Oh, fuck, dude. That dog goes off every single day. And I don't know what to do. Like, has that happened to you also?
Just recognizing that you're getting older, so you have to kind of take it easier at times.
But my neck,
I got to get new pillows or something because I messed up my neck again sleeping.
Marshall Couples coming in with it. I thought egrets were all white. And Marshall, it's a picture, you dumb. I don't know if any bird has bright blue head, half blue neck, and then a bright blue body. Look it up. I actually think they're called egrets, and then there's also – it's a crane. It's a different kind of crane. We call them cowbirds down in Louisiana. No, I'm asking basically, like, do you – like, after this marathon, like, does your body, like, all messed up? Like, when I come home from these trips –
mm-hmm.
When I come home from these big ass trips and I just go balls to the wall, set a world record, all these things, I come home and I'm like, my body goes through something pretty serious. And now I have like a whole system when I come back here with the amount of supplements that I take, minerals that I take, like the skincare that I have to go through. Cause I feel like my face gets all dried out and crusty.
I see. Yes. I'm hurting a lot. Besides from my neck, I'm walking stiff-legged downstairs. I put two scoop and a half of Builder in here. I'm going to need to do some red light therapy. I'm hurting a lot after this marathon.
I can swing the hammer harder than I ever have before, but it comes with consequences.
Yeah,
it's weird. It's weird, and I can't tell if it's because I'm swinging it so hard that it kicks back harder than ever, or if this is just what aging is. Because it took me literally, this is the longest it's taken me to recover from a trip this year. But that being said, I added it up. I've been to Europe 7 times this year.
All within 2023?
Yeah.
Wow.
Good, think about it. We went, are this 6? I think it was 6 or 7 because we went there in March. We went there in April. We went there in the summer. Then we went there for Birmingham. Then we went there just now. Oh, that's 5. Sorry. I don't know where I added the extra 2 on, but there's guaranteed 5. What's that?
you potentially might be going back. There's always a potential to go back.
Dude, I have to go back in January.
Yeah.
Have to is the wrong way of putting it. I get to.
Get to.
I get to go back. You know what's a really interesting thing that's coming up is Kyle is turning 30. And sweet, he's doing a 100-miler. We should probably call Kyle right now and get this data on. I'm just going to call him so we can actually talk about this properly on the show.
Well, I think if I set this up correctly, I got Bluetooth enabled. I think I can bring him in and you all can hear him on the show. If he will pick up my phone call. He doesn't answer Kyle. My texts anymore.
What's up? We're on the show right now and we're talking about the 100-miler you're doing. We don't know what's the name of it. Oh, the Brassus Bend 100. How do you spell that?
B-R-A-C-O-S.
B-R-A-Z-O-S Bend 100 miler.
Yeah, there you go.
And you're definitely doing this thing.
Yeah, signed up. Let's go.
All right. He's in, guys. You heard it. All right. I'll call you back later. Let's look this thing up.
This is sponsored by Brazers, the Brazo Brazer. No, I'm joking. All right. I got it right here. Share screen.
Would you marry a porn star?
No.
Okay. No, just asking.
I don't think
okay,
I could.
It's between the 6th and the 7th.
Share screen.
This looks like it's just in a park.
Shia.
7 a.m. it starts. And what's the details on this thing?
All right, here we go. Volunteer. Rescheduled. Well, that's
the only hill is 10 feet.
That's awesome. He's going to tear this up.
It's a Western States qualifier. We need some course map details.
Here's an interactive map. Have you ever done 100 miles at one time?
I guess I technically did, but not. It was like in a mud run.
The way he would run, I don't know, I'm going off of Leadville, but like he would run 50, and then you would pace him for the final 50, right?
It's 6 loops of 16 miles.
Okay.
That's doable. And I said I would run one of them with him, which I'd be super pumped to do. Is this your first marathon, by the way?
Yes. Yeah.
How do you feel about it on a scale of 1 to 10?
Scale of 1 to 10, I'm
10
super
being like
happy
you
with
were
the
like
results.
So pumped. You hit the time you wanted.
I'm happy with the results. The 10 goes for happy that I completed, happy that I did the marathon, happy that I can say I checkmarked a marathon. 0 to 1. Are my happiness on running it during the race and my thoughts about doing another marathon at any time.
0 to 1. That's how miserable you were.
Yeah. I didn't like it. I like half marathons. The course was beautiful. I mean, we're running through neighborhoods and million-dollar homes throughout these neighborhoods. And we got to run finally the last, I'd say 3 miles through the resort itself. Watching the pool area and you know, walking up to on the trail that people would go out to sit by the pool and go eat for the day on the patio. But other than that, I was just running through a lot of neighborhoods. It pissed poured down rain on us. But it was hot rain. I mean, it was like 65, 70. And, you know, the mile and a half walk up to where we needed to go because the buses weren't running quite as quick as what we needed to. But the race itself, I got 9 miles in, ran with my friend for 9 miles. He took on off. I have my race splits right here, but he took on off and then I kind of settled in. I didn't hit a wall at mile 20, but I did, you know, start to get pain behind my calf muscle and quad, and just the final, I'd say 10 miles of the race, 8 miles of the race. I was just when is this thing over? Not enjoying it. But I will say that it made me appreciate what you do and doing marathons, you know, after your run and bike as well. But I think I come to realize that I really like and enjoy training for half marathons, and I'll be doing that from now on.
I get it.
But
I don't know if I'm doing any more Ironman.
I got my tattoo. That's all I really was concerned about, that I got to complete it and got my 26.2 tattoo. So I'm kind of
got a tattoo?
Yeah, yeah.
What?
You want to see this? Yeah.
You got a real one?
Yeah.
When did you do this?
After the race.
You really went and got that tattoo?
Yeah, yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
So
my girlfriend was there, Jen, cheering me on at the end. Cheering me on. It was great to have her there. And then my buddy Nick, we were staying at his house, you know, with his family. They put us up for the weekend. And after the race, we went out to like a ribs place. It was like a market that you could also, you know, take home seafood and type stuff. But we got ribs. And then after that, we had a 6 p.m. tattoo appointment, walked in, and we were the last customers of the day. Found the font on the way there, and we got it printed.
Quick question. I got some things. You got so many questions, to be honest.
Okay.
When was the last time you went sober? Like, no partying whatsoever.
I mean, probably for the eight weeks. Of
you were sober the whole time?
I stopped I defaulted two times. There was Jen and I's anniversary. No, yeah, yeah. And then one weekend when my dad came to town, we watched the Colorado game and we did some beers. But other than that, but officially, like no alcohol at all. Just like one glass of wine. I haven't done in I don't know how long.
I was thinking about, I was talking to a company. I might do a sober January.
Okay. We could do that.
It's really weird. This last trip that I was just over in Europe, it was the most like clean I've been in a long time. It just wasn't a party trip at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I set the world record and I was like, God, I'm not even trying right now. Like, I should see what the heck happens if I clean my act up January and February and just show up in DC and murder people.
Mm. Oh, are you going to DC?
I think I'm going to go to DC. I was looking about Vienna, but then just the amount of travel, dude, like for me, I was setting things up where I wanted to have these like 8 weeks of 20 plus hour training.
Mm-hmm.
And I only got five of them in because all of a sudden I had to go home for Thanksgiving. It went down the week of London went down, the week after London went down. So it was just like in the week afterwards. So it was 3 weeks in a row where I just didn't have any volume of training. And I was like, I can't keep on doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I can't keep on doing this or I'm not going to hit the numbers that I want to have later on the season because it's all built off of each other.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's why I'm looking at DC.
I like that.
That was the race to DC.
And I'm possibly
really only going to DC just to shit all over David Magida. Other than that, I have no reason to go to DC. I think it's one of the worst cities.
He raced DECA, but he got his results when he was over there in, what was it, London? He raced and he's like, I didn't quite hit the timer that I need, but I know what I need to improve on and work on. And I'm getting after it later in the season. And then he was racing DECA.
Where? I don't pay attention to his season at all. But I'm assuming he's going to be there because that's where he lives. Easy.
Oh, yeah, he's got to show up.
Just be like a pigeon on a lamppost shitting all over his town. That's what I'm going to do. So, you know, were you passing people or were you getting passed?
At the beginning, I was passing people up till about mile 9. And then I settled into my 10:30 pace. You want to see my splits?
Well, I want to go through this. Let me get through all these questions. And like, I want to, one thing I wanted to say, which blew my mind and made me think about when you're talking about in your marathon,
mm-hmm.
I ran a pretty blazing hot, fast marathon, a 3:20, which was not like crazy, but for me, it was a good marathon time in my Ironman.
Yeah.
And I was passing people like crazy, but it blows my mind how many people were way faster than me on the bike and the swim.
Hmm.
Thousands, literally thousands of people.
So then you caught up
faster
them?
Than me.
You What's caught that? Up. Did you catch up to them all in the race? Or like in the run part, yeah.
Well, I caught up to him in the run, and that's what I was asking. Like, were you passing people or were you getting passed? Because it's one of these kind of things where obviously you have to pace yourself. Like, my event was 10 hours. Your event was 4. Did you feel like you would have handled things differently going back? Like
I would have started a lot slower. Yeah, I would have started a lot slower.
Holy crap. Oh, I thought this guy said he did a half marathon in 111. This guy just did his first Spartan race this weekend, Sacramento Super 111. That's actually not a bad time, dude, because a lot of our super paces were just around like an hour flat. So that's not a bad time.
He's moving.
For Gordon Patty.
Patty.
Show me your splits. Let's talk about this thing.
All right, yes. Present.
How many people competed in this marathon, by the way?
There were 1,454 people.
So that's about the size of like an American High Rocks.
Yeah. So the amount, and so this is why they said, hey, you should probably show up to the fields where you park at 5:30 a.m. And we're looking at the map. And we're like, it should take like an hour to get there. So we get about a mile and a half away, maybe 2 miles. And the ticker on the GPS just keeps bumping. So it took we left at 5:45, 5:50, and didn't get to the parking area where we were a mile and a half away from like getting to the start of the race until 7:30 a.m. So all these people are coming into the one point of the island on a roundabout, all funneling down, and it took us about an hour to go about a mile.
That's where race organizers need to look at that and say, listen, we're going to have a bus shuttle, like three buses just taking you in or something like that.
But they needed to park way, way back because where they were having us park, it was a field, but it was too congested at that point anyway.
Yeah, you don't want that. Okay. Whew. Do you know that Reagan ran a marathon last month? Do you remember? Did you see what her time was?
I did not, no.
She clipped you by like a good hour 20.
I bet she fucking clipped me hard.
So you've got great pacing for the first you've got great pacing for the first 15 miles. You're within this like 1 minute range. The first 10 miles, you were within literally 3 seconds of your original split, which is really good pacing. Like that's very impressive. And then all of a sudden, it looks like around the 9 mile mark, 10 mile mark, you had a conversation with yourself. And then I'm assuming from that point on, you're like, okay, I can manage holding this pace. And then at the 20 mile mark, you hit a wall and something happens. And
a lot of rain happened. They ran out of water. These are all excuses, but a lot of rain happened. I started to feel like shooting pain behind my knee and top of my quad.
Yeah. So then you had that conversation with yourself and you're like, oh gosh. And then all of a sudden you're like, fuck it. I've only got 3 miles to go. And you just started hitting the gas pedal and you took a minute off per mile.
Mm-hmm.
What was the worst experience of the entire race? Like what was your rose and what was your thorn? What was your best thing that happened? What was the worst thing that happened?
Seeing, you know, my friends at the end of the race and Jen at the end of the race. So it made it all kind of worth it. And knowing that they showed up there. And, you know, it's like, am I going to continue to walk and waste their entire day? Or like, am I going to get on my ass and keep moving? So it was like kind of the motivation of that. So I kept moving. The thorn was just, I didn't know where I was within the race. And what I mean by that is if I can share this screen as well, it went crazy on the amount of just out and back, out and back. And then we were I'd say brushing shoulders with everyone in the race. Like you'd go out and then within the area, we would.
It looks really pretty.
These are all neighborhoods, though. I thought we were going to be running on the shoreline to see the ocean. We didn't see the shoreline until you get back here when we were running in the resort. All of this is running neighborhoods, swooshing neighborhoods, all dark over, you know, trees overhanging that I very well could have been anywhere. Now, the $1 million homes kind of set it off, and they're very nice, beautiful homes. So that was kind of cool.
Like, is it like, oh, wow, I could live here, or is it just like it's pretty?
It's like, you might have a grandparent that would live there and you visit on the weekends. Yeah. I don't know, they like minimum buy is like 1.2, and you're getting 947 square foot for that.
What?
Yeah. So we were walking in old downtown Charleston, South Carolina, and there was a real estate studio there, and they're like, oh, okay.
Let's you gotta give me a second. I don't want to be rude, but I gotta shut this dog up. It's all I can hear.
Pause. How was the marathon training? Yeah, so yeah, let me address that. And what you can see here from my splits, and it makes sense because when I was training with Parker, he was giving me daily advice, right? Everything that he was putting on the program, I was doing up till about 2 weeks before Battle Bunker. So what somebody asked, you know, John Larson said, how's your marathon training while you're doing the cut with Parker? So I was doing it. Everything was good up till about a week before going out to Battle Bunker. And then I wasn't really feeling it. He was scheduling it. He was calling me. He's like, hey, what are we doing? I didn't see that you hit your training peaks run. It said still shows blank. And it was. And it would make sense if you look at my mile splits here, that I was still pacing pretty decent, 902, 939, 946 up to mile 15. Coincidentally, the furthest that I ran in training was 15 miles. So after that 15 mile mark, I was like, all right, well, every mile after that this is kind of going to be a PR. So I just kind of sat in and grit my face and got through the final, you know, 15 to 26. But, Parker was giving me the training. I just wasn't adhering to it. And I got kind of bored with just running. And so that was another thing that I kind of realized, that I really enjoy strength training a lot more than I really enjoy running training. So that's why we're going to focus.
Listen, your training is going to dictate results.
Yeah.
Contrary to common belief, I actually don't do any long runs. I just don't.
I kind of hate you for that you could just go.
Even when I was training for my Ironman stuff, I was like, I was not training a lot of volume. I just did a lot of bike.
Yeah.
And obviously, like, you know, that's what I'm saying. Like, it will dictate your results. I was training a couple of years ago to set the fastest marathon over 200 pounds. Mm-hmm. I think I did it wrong. I hired a coach, and I don't really blame him, but with my body type, and I think a lot of the training styles that I use, it was not good to have that much volume. If I could go back, like, I really right now think I could run a sub 240 marathon at my size, like, today. But to hit that like really wicked, wicked fast pace, which I was looking for, like a 230, which wow, those 10 minutes end up being like, that's where the training dictates the results. Like I have this baseline ceiling that's higher than the average bear, but that peak ceiling needs to be done with really, really specific training. I would only really do one specific run a week and maybe two, and the rest of it would just be very relaxed. And I would do like a negative split run for 10 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And I would maybe preload it when I wanted to start really building up endurance with like maybe an hour bike ride beforehand and the 10 mile cut down. And my 10 mile cut down would probably only would take me like less than 60 minutes. I would basically start it like
the whole time.
Yeah. I would start at like a 6:30 pace, do a couple at six, do a couple at 5:50, then do a couple 5:45, then a couple at 5:40, then be done. Like, you know,
all in the mountains on.
No. I always would do it on the road. I have a road that I do all my speed work on here in Malibu. And I think like, I've always wanted to have like a book that I came out with called the McIntyre Marathon Method, which was for bulk ponies.
Okay.
But I have to hit that, like that time. There's the fucking dog again. I really have such bad ADD.
The good news is that I have my headphones pretty jacked up and I can hear you perfectly. I don't hear it in the background. Normally I can hear when it's barking. That's why the one time we were on a Zoom, I was like, is that a screeching, crying dog? And you're like, yeah, but I don't hear it today.
Well, these are actually very quality headphones, but they're not noise canceling. So I think I'm going to invest in noise canceling. If anybody wants to get me anything for Christmas, I'm trying to upgrade our podcast studio. So I want to get a better camera for you guys, better lighting. And like, I don't need to see myself in a better way, but I think for the presentation of what we're doing for our content and all of our live streaming, I want to get everything at a more high quality, and it will probably be the investment of like $1,000 on my behalf. You don't have to buy it for me, but that's what I'm looking to do. And I'm trying to sit down with the team. I may even move our studio to the other side. When I say studio, desk to the other side, and try to turn it into an actual studio in my guest bedroom. So figuring this stuff out. I hope Ryan's girlfriend's not listening to this podcast, but I'm trying to get Ryan to move to California so we can start to do bigger level productions. And every time I mention that, he gets real anxious. Yeah. Oh no, California, the best place on earth. Oh no, that sucks. Oh, it's sunny all the time and everyone's like beautiful and nice and it's just amazing. No, I couldn't. Oh,
how are those homeless on the street going for you?
You don't see them here in Malibu. That's why I don't go down to those places. Like,
everyone is exiting California. Businesses, people,
they're idiots.
Residents are mass exodus of California right now due to
is that Jared Beanbag Chair?
Yes, Jared. Jared gave me some insight as to a local resident there, and he gave me two paragraphs full of like some insight and some thoughts onto why not to move there. And it was very, very
Here's the thing: if you're going to live in the center of a city,
yeah,
California is not it. If you're going to live the lifestyle where we own like houses up in the mountains and live in Malibu, it's it.
Okay.
There's a reason why the richest people in the world still all pretty much live in California, because they've created a lifestyle for themselves where it's amazing. Now for me, I basically live in California because I train so much.
Yeah.
Like you see every single day that I wake up.
Yeah. You have to have sunny skies and you can't be in a wet, rainy climate, 50% of the week. You got to have it.
But you also got to think of it from this standpoint. Like if we were coal miners, yeah, you can live other places. If we ran a tech company, we could run other places. But we run a media company. And trying to grow a podcast specifically where the majority of the people that we're going to be doing is bringing guests, we literally have the biggest talent pool in the United States right at our fingertips. So we need to create a studio to bring these people in. I'm only doing this to grow our business. It's not because I like need more friends in California. But
now I will say I listened to this artist. His name is Mike Dot, formerly Mike Studd. And he and his film crew Kilmer, they have these cameras set up, and they are in different locations. He's in Malibu. I don't know where Kilmer is. Maybe Nashville or something. But the video, and I talked to Alex about this. The videos that they do have set up, it gives a full studio type look. They are in front of their desk, but gives like multiple camera angles looking back and forth when he and Mike are talking, and it looks as if they could be in the same room. Because of the headshot, waist and above of what they're doing, but they are in two different locations. It'd take a little bit more production as far as like putting a different style camera in front of where I'm sitting at, but it does give a studio feel.
Yeah, I try to get the space. It's complicated. I don't know what to do. I think that what we're doing, like, I don't know if you guys have heard this and you guys have been fans of what we've been doing, but we have rebranded our business to Here to Party Sports, and everything's changing. Like that upright corner that says Morningwood Radio goes to Here to Party Sports. Like everything is switching over, and it kind of activates January 1st. But for us, we're investing so much into this thing to try to take over the media space of hybrid fitness, fringe sports, all that kind of stuff, like a similar kind of vibe to Barstool Sports, because I've spent over a decade doing this, and the majority of my career, which has been a great career, I'm very grateful for the opportunities, doesn't exist. Nobody knows what happened because no one was filming or doing it properly, or if they did film it, all of a sudden that business collapsed and all the content's gone. And we want to create this space to be one of the biggest in fitness, if not the biggest. And there's a ton of opportunity. So this podcast, we only really started a year ago, and now we've grown tremendously. And like, the amount of views that we get on YouTube and all of our other outlets, it's awesome. So it's obviously effective. But I think with that level of growth, we have to invest and change the style that we're doing. And we just recruited these girls. They own a podcast called Bar Talk. So they'll be kind of like a female entity of ours. We're going to interview them later. There's a lot of cool stuff coming up.
That is actually later in the day today.
We got to go full game show style, says Victor. Victor, I guess you have a podcast too now. Just in your show notes, if you guys could just put, just so we could have some clarity, what are some of the things in this industry that you think is missing from the media presence? Because right now we cover a lot of high rocks, like ambitiously. My main goal is not to really only talk about high rocks. It's more so to talk to like athletes, super high performers, super high, you know, entrepreneurs and people that are in this space trying to grow it and get to understand how they started, where they started, why they started, and where they're going. We want direction because obviously the consumer is the most important aspect of this. Like we have our aspirations and our opinions, but obviously crowdsourcing is a pretty fun way to get information out. Look at this. I credit Little Hunter the inspiration running my first race. Jared, appreciate the note. I do miss Spartan Race.
Jared, I don't know. Jared, you could type in here, but I'm pretty sure that your picture that you just put on your story was you running a Spartan Race this weekend, right? I'm a little bit behind on checking up, but he had a full-on Spartan headband ready to go hard at it.
You know what's really interesting? This John Larson guy just said that we need to have scientific experts coming on like Galpin and Huberman. It's very interesting how this like there's this whole market for these guys now, these super high level scientific people. And I'm in the business of selling products to people now. I'm no longer just an athlete and I'm connecting with people all over the world who are buying our products and everything. And these people who are our consumers for the most part don't understand anything. So there's people like this guy, John Larson, that wants to hear from Huberman, but that's like less than 5% of the wedge. Everybody else is just clueless. I would love to be more scientific and nerdy. If you look in the corner over here, like I have degrees on sports nutrition and exercise science, and I know all about the stuff, but then when I start talking about it, no one seems to understand it at all. Like the biggest thing that I don't get is with our products, like Strength X2 or Pre-Power, even our hydration drink, people don't get it at all. So they're like, why would I want to take creatine? Or I'm like, well, how many days are you in the gym? They're like 5 or 6 days. I'm like, how many days do you lift weights? I'm like 3 or 5. I'm like, how often are you getting stronger? They're like, well, I've been kind of like, I'm like, dude, it's amazing the amount of focus that these people are putting in, but have such a disillusioned idea of how it actually works. Mm-hmm. Like I know so many people that are training all the time and not getting better. And it's a lot of it just has to do with knowledge. Like if you guys were a little bit more empowered with knowledge, the opportunities that you'd have would be like much better. Like when you first started, Ryan, what you started like was your first connection with, what the hell am I trying to say?
Like
thanks
fitness?
For the tip. Sai, 99 cent tip. That's right. Dude. Show him some nip. Show him some nip. what was your first ever program that you got involved with?
I want to say Todd Durkin's Impact Plan. Is either that or like P90X3.
Okay. So from there, did you really understand nutrition or anything? Like how did you gain information there?
It was just going off of people that I followed and they're like, I take this. So it would be good if you take this with no real background on it. I was just like, oh, they take it and they're strong. I should probably take it.
Yeah. That's exactly how I started.
Yeah.
I was spending $500 a month when I did not have $500 a month on supplements because I would see bodybuilders or this, that, and the other thing take it. How long in your fitness career, like journey, did it take you until you felt like you had somewhat of a sound understanding of what to take every single day and direction?
Like I've been doing this since I started in like 2013, and it hasn't been until you know, I started fully working with you and maybe a year before that, to where it was like, oh, probably shouldn't take a bunch of stuff that is not needed. And like, it's just been like the last few recent years.
Yeah. It's interesting. Like, even I myself am learning more and more. And like, one of my biggest resources has been Crazy Bobby. Like, he just ends up being this like fountain of information, but I am like near the tip of the spear. And when he says stuff, it like makes sense to me. But I do want to bring more experts on, but I just don't know how much our community will receive it, because I don't even know if they're able to understand it or value it.
Like, the way they talk, is it such high level that if you don't have the knowledge of what they're talking, like, you kind of have to have like a basis of knowledge of what they're about to dive into, because otherwise it might just, is going to go over your head.
Like, I'll give you an example. Like, I have nothing against that Huberman guy at all. Mm-hmm. I think he's a very intelligent person, and I absorb a lot of information. I think it's super valuable. But these guys put these like statements out where they're telling you about like hot and cold therapy and like factors of sleep and like this kind of nootropic and this kind of thing over here. And he's like, if you could just cut out some of the EMF, or if you had this, it's like really crazy fringe stuff that most people don't have access to.
Yeah.
I talk to most people. I'm like, how much water do you drink every day? They're like, well, I'm like, dude, if you could just increase your water, your metabolism, your sleep, your hormones, everything, just having 10 cups of this every single day. And that, like, you just delete the Huberman podcast and just put a timer on your phone to drink every 2 hours, like a 16-ounce glass of water or something like that. Like, that would increase your performance and lifestyle. And that's why I started with hydration products, because it's so important. And then I'm like, you know, when these people are talking about like, you can get the most optimal result if you do this in the gym, and like, if you do these kind of like bounce plyometrics into like this, and then you get into this training cycle, like, I'm like, whoa, dude. Like, how often do you go to the gym and actually put more weight or more reps on the bar than you did last time? And most people are like, well, I don't know.
Yeah, that's the other thing, that before I knew any, or I was just following what I would see on Instagram as far as here's a fun workout for the day. But I didn't realize that it's not about just the workout. It's like, how are you placing this workout in the long list of over the month of you training? Are you upping your weight? What's the point of upping your weight or doing the same stuff if you aren't upping your weight? And then I got into, okay, what is all these different cycles? What does Hunter mean by like, okay, we're in a periodization cycle, we're in a strength-based cycle, we're in a cardio cycle? And I was like, I was just going off of what I saw the Instagram bodybuilders that I was following. Is like, oh, they did this workout today, so it must be good. And then you get to a point after a month or 2 months, and you're like, why am I not seeing results? Well, you're not doing any type of training cycle. You're just doing random freaking workouts.
Yeah. God, if I could get somebody, like, my biggest tip to somebody, whether it's our program or another program, like, if you could just get into one of our programs and do it for 12 weeks straight, the difference of a person that you'd be, rather than doing everything else you see on the internet or going to random fitness classes and stuff, you'd be astounded.
Mm-hmm.
You'd literally, like, you have no idea what 1 pound of muscle looks like on your body, and losing a couple pounds of fat would look like. You would look like the David.
Mm-hmm.
And people just don't get it at all. And there's this like humongous, I just like misalignment with the health industry these days, because there's a difference between experts and influencers.
Yeah.
And the people who are the most celebrated experts these days, I think, are so extreme. Like, Dom something, the guy who's the paleo person, or like even seeing like the Liver King get such immense amounts of popularity, and the amount of dumb people that I saw showing up to my house and before working out taking liver pills. I'm like, holy shit. I was like, what are we doing wrong here? So I think that's why, like, I'm on the edge with our podcast of just like keeping entertainment and not trying to be this overbearing podcast of knowledge.
I think we're trying to play as close to the center, so you don't have to have such detailed, in-depth research knowledge in order to listen to our podcast. And if you do have that knowledge, you aren't super bored, because we still talk about interesting topics, you know?
Yeah. It's interesting. What's the T-Pain show?
T-Pain, the rapper or singer. He's a really good.
Check out T-Pain's show. It's very entertaining format. T-Pain has his own show. Good for him.
Everyone's got a podcast these days, probably.
Are we? God, I hope we're not that lame. I hope we're not that lame.
T-Pain is cool, dude.
Is he?
My voice cracks, yeah.
I thought T-Pain was just the guy with like the audio filter over everything.
He has definitely, but he's also taken the filter off. Look up the Tiny Desk Studio or Tiny Desk performance of T-Pain. No recording type of devices other than a mic. Like no voice changing stuff. The man can sing. He won the Masked Singer.
Really?
Yeah, he got one like down to one of the finalists. Like it was very surprising. Like, oh shit, T-Pain is singing this. We only know him like you had known him over the Vox voice changer.
Dude, I have something that I have to confess. I probably have to go number two pretty soon.
Oh boy. Okay.
So when I get back from these crazy trips, you guys should all try this. And I'm not a health professional. I'm not a doctor. I'm just somebody who's trained a lot and gathers a lot of data and then it has suggestive information. So consult the doctor before you do this. I don't want to have anything to do with your medical issues.
This is what you just do personally. You aren't putting this
personally,
out.
And I learned this from a friend who's in the industry also and somebody I trusted. And, you know, I took the risk and it has interesting results. I go and get Phycelium husk. And I think I've told you about this.
Okay.
It's like a very fibrous thing. It comes in a powder. You put it in water, like 4 to 6 tablespoons, big heaping spoons worth. You stir it up and it turns into quicksand within literally like cement within 10 to 15 seconds. So you have to stir this thing up and it's like, let's just say like a third of the cup down to here. And it just starts to soup up and then you just chug it really quickly and then fill up half the cup and chug it down really quickly. It goes through your whole system of all that shitty food you just were eating, traveling, all that nasty stuff, and drags it out of your system. Drags it out. It's like literally like a Brillo pad that just sucks through your intestinal line. And I'll do it when I get back from these trips. And I can't even begin to tell you like what happens. And I'm not going to get graphic about this, but you have a childbirth the next morning. And the stuff that comes out and the smell that comes out is crazy. I'm not trying to be like inappropriate. I'm just letting you know if anybody's interested, if you guys want to talk about this scientific stuff, clearing your digestive tract after like periods of time, like fasting and things like that is an interesting way to respond and play around with your health. And I can tell you, dude, like after every single trip I come back, it takes me about a week to adjust. I do a couple things. And the amount of difference that I have, like I think I've been promoting my buddy's
for a week.
Yeah, yeah. The person that I was when I got back versus what I do now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like my buddy Hobie Call has this company. I'm sure you've heard this like buzzing all over the internet as Shilajit. It's a mineral paste that's basically like from like thousands of years of like broken down vegetables. Like basically like plants and stuff like that. And it gets pushed through the mountain. It's what I call mountain jam. Mm-hmm. And it's like very, very dense mineral fluid that like really, really helps your body absorb iron, like all of these things and fixes it. And I can take that for a couple of days. Also, I do my whole shit cleanse that. And I just am like back in alignment, like buzzing. That's something you guys should all check out. And really like I'm starting to feel like myself again for the first time in 3 or 4 weeks.
Good.
How long do you think it will take you to recover from your marathon if you had to guess?
The way I'm walking down these stairs, probably not good. I'll probably give it to probably Thursday. My legs, I'm going to do some red light therapy. That'll bring me back.
Yeah.
I should be good by Thursday. I'll be running again. I'm going to take today off, do some stretching.
My formula for success after big, like really, really challenging things like this is 3 to 5 days of walking, like 2 days of like absolute rest, nothing, 3 to 5 days of walking. And then a following week of very like lightweight bodybuilding and bike. If you can follow that formula, it's about a 10 to 14 day formula. You will be back where you were before.
So rest and stretch today, tomorrow,
About 2 days of this.
Mm-hmm.
Then well, start walking.
Ben and I were walking down downtown old school Charleston, South Carolina yesterday, and I was hobbling like an old crotchety man. I couldn't walk.
Yep.
So I guess that was my day one.
You need to start moving the system again pretty quickly.
Okay.
Without aggression. Hydration, super, super key. Like you're trying to get your inflammation down. Yeah. Builder with the amino acids in there, be like muscle repair. So you're just fixing yourself. Another really, really key factor. You don't really need to be taking Advil and all that stuff. I think that is, it's unless you have like a really bad acute injury. Like, let's just say you like have an Achilles strain and that kind of stuff, then this formula is not really going to work. You should just be on the bike and you can take some Advil and stuff. But moving the body sooner than later, rather than waiting a period of time, it will make it so much easier to get started again. Because a lot of people will just take all this time off. And yeah. Then next thing you know, it's very hard to get started again.
Mm-hmm.
Like I did Ironmans all summer long and I just kept on consistently moving. And you guys just saw that I set a world record because I just kept on moving rather than having like really sedentary periods of time, which I've done before. And yeah. I've already set the world record way ahead of schedule. And those Ironmans, like they're not easy, but I didn't have time to skip a beat after these Ironmans like I did last year, where it was like right into the holidays. Like I did my Ironmans and I had to go right on tour with Builder, and it like made a humongous difference in the way that I felt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, so you said on your story, you probably got to go soon. You said on your story, Alex just went out and decided to do a marathon.
You saw that.
He's got a softball of a time to beat right now if his leg is or his knee is doing okay for him.
It's completely trashed, as I understand it.
Oh, okay. So maybe my time will hold.
I think that his is entirely trashed, but like my challenge, I mean, Alex is the kind of person that like you don't have to put a gun to his head. You say do it, and he'll start right then and there. Yeah. I would really like to see Alex drop in and nail like a really serious time and start this battle up. Like I'm wondering like what's up next for you guys, because we have LA this coming weekend. You're obviously not coming, but maybe Alex really might just jump in.
I would really like, as long as his knee heals, I was thinking DC mano y mano, Ryan versus Alex, High Rocks.
Open category?
Yeah.
Hmm. You know what we should try to do? Caleb's coming in this weekend. Maybe we can get Caleb and Alex to do a doubles with each other.
That would be cool. I'd put them up between me and my buddy Craig that we did doubles this last time.
That'd be pretty good. Hunter McIntyre, UK versus... Who's commenting? Is it Alex? I never know who's running our system. Yeah.
I did not.
What's going on right now?
Media team doubles. Okay.
I would really like to see Cy and Max, and then Alex and you go against each other. Has anybody heard from Dylan, by the way?
He's just doing box squats. He was uploading workouts yesterday.
Is he alive?
I think so, yeah. I talked to him when I got to the airport at baggage claim. I like this. Cy and Max versus Ryan and Alex.
That would be very competitive. I think Max is a pretty good athlete. I know Cy is astoundingly strong, like very, very strong. So if he could keep it together on the runs, that'd be really, really good. I'm willing to set up a tournament.
Mm.
I'm willing to set up a tournament. I think we all are going to end up going out to Nice for world championships. And you guys would have to qualify, but that'd be super dope to watch you guys race doubles there, and then we just party hard. I'll rent us a place there for a week and we just go savage.
Okay.
I know you guys are all listening to the podcast, so it'd be dope to have you. I really have to use the restroom, but things I just want to get over right now is we're considering Sober January. If you guys want to up this challenge, like it's something we might do where basically we send a package to your guys' house with some opportunities to be involved with what we're doing with Sober January, some challenges involved, and see how fit we could all get. Another thing that I want to put out there, guys, is it's the end of the year, start of a new year. So we allow a certain amount of people to come into our program, which is called Academy, which is one-on-one coaching. And if you guys are interested, just go to housetraining.com. There's an academy button. You can apply there. Like, we've had a lot of people just apply because I posted a link up, but we're going to send out all the emails this week. And other than that, guys, like, the things that you want to know about what's going on with our company is, you know, Builder, I'll be honest, we sold out of almost all of our stuff. StrengthX2 in the UK is gone until like early spring. Just takes a while. We didn't know it was going to sell out that quick. Sorry. Another thing to mention is, you know, we are about to launch the Ultimate Engine. If you guys are just looking for like a basic plan to follow, which I said, like, if you just do something for 12 weeks, the amount of difference you could have, the Ultimate Engine is our best program. We build up to it so that people can like get ready for it. But even beginners can do it, and we can explain to you guys how the volume works. But it's the most effective kind of program that you can have out there for a house. I mean, for Hyrox. We do all of our training in pro towards Hyrox. And it's experience that I've had. Like, I started this sport 5 years ago. I ran a 60-minute Hyrox, and now I hold the world record at 53 minutes and 22 seconds. So I've used this and I found the formula, and I give everybody the honest answers. Like, there's different levels to this game, but if you want to increase your level, you have to pick the program that's really the best at doing that. And we've created an amazing program that's affordable for everybody. Other than that, guys, like, Here to Party Sports is our media outlet. Like, if you guys want to check out anything we're doing, podcasts is under Here to Party Sports. Our YouTube is popping off, and we've got all the best content when it comes to educating, motivating, and dominating all the fitness racing scene, specifically Hyrox, because that's what I do. And our team's always available to give you guys as much information as possible when it comes to this stuff. So please reach out. I'm going to end with this question. I have a beta alanine question. On the day of performance, am I using beta alanine in a system, or do I need to take it the morning of the race? I know it loads in the muscles. I don't know if that makes a lot of sense to me, but I'm just going to say this. Beta alanine creates this counteraction of lactic acid being produced in your body so that you can push at a higher intensity, get more reps, more miles, and like hold intensity rather than the wave of lactic acid overcoming your body's ability to continue to work hard. You need to load it. It takes about 2 weeks to start to really, really affect your system. And then beyond that, you're continuing it, and it allows you to train at that higher intensity. And because you're training at a higher intensity, your body's making adaptations at a higher intensity, and it's able to continue to grow at a higher level towards your goals. I'm using beta alanine all the time. In this sport, unless you're completely in off season, if you're not on beta alanine, you're being an idiot. It's such a cheap product to take, and it gives you guys, like, if you even think about just like the 1% factor, and in it's like, if you think about it, in an hour, you're looking at 3,600 seconds. Is that correct? 60 times 60? Sure. Yeah, 60 times 60. So an hour long race is even 36. 1% is a massive amount. Even a 0.05%. Like, it's one of those kind of things where it makes a difference, especially if you're one of those kind of people that's trying to qualify. Very affordable, very effective. I think beta alanine, even if you don't like our company, just go get the stuff.
I think what he was saying is he's building it up. It's in his system. So is it even needed on the day of the race because it's already built up in his system?
It metabolizes in your system. As you're moving, your body's eating it up. That's why you have to keep on taking it. Mm-hmm. So the investment wise, it's worth it. I ask because it makes me a little nauseous. And I like to take it with food. Not right before the race. Most effective is 30 minutes before the workout. You know, everybody's a little bit different. And that's why we say, like, you know, these are only suggestive terms. Like, if you guys have something that's a little bit better for you, so be it. It's already in your system, but it is the most effective to take just before you work out. So I will sometimes like mix it where I take my product and then I have some orange juice because I need the sugar as well. Just a tip, baby. Ryan, you all good?
Yeah, we're going to be here later today, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern with Bar Talk Radio.
Bar Talk, Bar Talk.
Bar Talk, Bar Talk, Bar Talk. And,
all right, guys.
Sports.
We're over now. I'll see you in a bit.
Later.